Yes. Hello, and welcome to the podcast where we look at theology, tradition, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, and we throw it all away. We ask, what do I believe, why, and what does the Bible say, anyway, and we build reconstructed faith. Hello, everyone. It's been a while, a long while, since I have sat down to talk with all of you. So I thought for those of you that have been consistent listeners of Reconstructed Faith and maybe wondered if maybe we were done or why there hasn't been new material, I would like to update you guys and tell you what I'm planning. First, I would like to say that I pray you are all as well as can be, and that in the midst of the insanity of this Advent season, you have learned to find your peace and joy in Christ, because anything else is fleeting. As for myself, I've been busy despite still not having a job, although I did get an offer letter this last week and am waiting on my background check to come in so I can get back to work. Yes! Here in Washington State, though, at least where I live, the kids are still doing remote learning, so I have become a teacher and a tutor and a lunch lady. So I myself am involved in some pretty exhaustive discipleship with my church, and that has been taking up most of my time. I think a normal person, whatever that is, can do all of the reading and reflections and stuff probably in like 5 hours or so. But it takes me all week because everything I read reminds me of something different. And I have to look it up or find a YouTube video that is an exhaustive debate on the matter or a lecture of some kind. So I'm not just going through the form material. I am going through every related rabbit trail that my mind comes up with. I am a puller of loose threads. But most of you have figured that out by now. So most of my time is taken up between helping my kids with school and my own learning and on and off work for friends. I also did reach a point where I was less excited about the material that I was doing. Or at least I was less sure of the methods I was using. And I was really struggling to put out material that was timely or up to the length and standard I had set in the beginning. Because the first few episodes were awesome. They're still my favorite. So with all of that said, I reached a point where I was just no longer doing the podcast for all of those reasons. But as time has gone on and more people find the Reconstructed Faith podcast Facebook page and more people engage with the material I post on Twitter and my personal Facebook page, the more I began to realize the very real need for what I do. So, where does that leave us? Well, realistically, I am in form discipleship until the late spring, April or May, if I remember. And I will not have time to devote to making a production of the quality I would prefer. So, I will do occasional updates, like this one, and I think probably short devotionals, 5 to 15 minutes, based on blogs and tweets and other things I engage with. Those would be easy enough for me to do. But what I will be working on mainly is finding someone who can make a real logo for me, instead of what I obviously made in MS Paint that is just red text on a black screen. So the goal is to completely rebrand. I like the name Reconstructed Faith because that's essentially what I am doing in my own walk, and attempting to help all of you do as well. To critically analyze what it is you believe and why, to question your faith, to understand it better, to leave behind whatever theology you may have, to forget what you learned in Sunday school and leave yourself with a few truths that you know you believe for sure. And then we're topically walking through concepts like hell, sin, redemption, and we're learning what the Bible says about these things without our presuppositions and theological lenses, using the Greek and Hebrew, as well as ancient Near Eastern theories and cultural contexts to reconstruct a biblical faith, to learn the Bible according to the Bible, if you will. That is what it means to me, but I am not sure that is clear with the name. I've considered faith to belief, theology, apologetics, and more for dummies, and this means you, was another idea. But I really do think that reconstructed faith captures what exactly it is that we do here. Although the Reconstruct podcast is another podcast I recently discovered with a similar concept as far as the name and the point, but it is a much different application. They teach way differently than I do, so we're quite different. So I'm still thinking on keeping the name. So back to the point. A new logo, more music. I want to have breaks between major points for you to perhaps reflect and pause. As many of you know, I myself am a musician, and the current intro was recorded by me. For those of you who listen to the podcast, there's a little rocky bit at the beginning. You don't get that in the videos yet, although that is going to change in the future. But I'll be self-producing like some ambient guitar stuff, maybe some acoustic-y stuff, for in-between sections. If I played piano, there'd be piano there too, but that's not something you guys want to hear. So I'm also going to be looking at a website where I can post blogs, side notes, and even have a section for questions and comments. On that note, I do have a Reconstructed Faith page on Facebook that has a group attached to it. I would love to start some discussion there and even start getting ideas from you, the listeners, as for future topics. I really want to tackle the idea of life versus, eventually, popular but wrong biblical sayings. Is that even in the Bible? Or, well, what does it really say? Kinds of topics. Well, actually, I am the well, actually guy. Quite often, I've accepted the meme. So anyway, I really want to do those kinds of topics and tackle life versus, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me and other various terribly misapplied scriptures. So, a place where people can reach out to me and leave me their questions and comments on such things would be a blessing for all of us. The website would also be a place where I can link to recommended reading, link to other podcasts and YouTube videos I use for research. I want you to have access to everything that I do, so you can do your own research and not just take my word for it. Because this is your journey, and not just mine. The idea is to create a kind of critically thinking Christian that when their faith is questioned or attacked by friends, family, and others that may be skeptical, that they are not defensive and do not experience a crisis of faith, but rather see this as an opportunity to explore the Bible in greater defense of their faith. We live in a world, sadly, where skeptics and atheists know more about why they don't believe than Christians know about why they believe. And I want to help change this. Okay, so there's a possible rebrand, but for sure a new logo, new and better theme music, as well as transitional and reflection, kind of ambient stuff in between there, a website. But wait, there's more. Of course there's more. The ultimate goal is to make the jump to YouTube. Yep, we're going to make the jump to YouTube and whatever other platforms become popular to maximize the reach of these biblical truths. Between now and then, I'll be going through my previous content and re-scripting, editing these scripts because I plan to start from the beginning with the relaunch and really do some of these topics more justice because I've learned just so much more about how to study effectively and I've learned some tips and tricks in some of the software that I'm using, and really I can just go even deeper than I did the first time around. So we're going to start at the beginning, re-go over all those topics, and then go from there. And I do have a special episode coming eventually on mental illness and the church, whenever I can line that up with my guest. So, what can you do to aid in your learning in the meantime? Well, here's the diverse swath of podcasts and YouTubers that I watch. What started this all for me, like so many, really, is the Bible Project. I have cool animated videos on stuff, but better than that is the Bible Project podcast. They discuss all of the material, going into making the videos, cultural background, what the Greek says, theology, all the stuff I'm into. They really turned me on to dynamic dual authorship, which is my current view, actually, on the inspiration of Scripture. Basically, dynamic dual authorship is the theory that God revealed the truth to his chosen authors, but that they were people in a culture, in a time and a place, and that their culture, time and place, as is true for all of us, was the lens through which they interpreted God's revelation. So, the Bible is truly dual authored. It is man's inspired interpretation of divine revelation. So, what that means is we need to understand the culture, the time and place surrounding the Bible, to truly understand the intended meaning of authors in order to accurately apply biblical principles to our time and our place. Along the lines of Bible Project, but not as fun, is another guy who's probably just as smart as Tim Mackey, who is Peter Enns. And that is the Bible for normal people. You know, not as fun, definitely more in like a scholarly direction in the way that it's approached. But it's still, it's still designed for the lowest common denominator, hence the name, the Bible for normal people. If you're into angels and demons and understanding heaven and hell and God's domain better, listen to The Naked Bible with Michael Heiser. He wrote Supernatural and Unseen Realm, Angels, Demons, Stop Hiding from Your Bible, and a couple other books that are really good. And he has a podcast called The Naked Bible, where he just kind of goes over all of that material. If you want to understand the Bible through the lens of a Reformed perspective and a historic redemptive view of the Bible and God's covenant with his people, I recommend wholeheartedly Theocast. I absolutely love those guys. And the White Horse Inn as well is really good. And then, probably my favorite podcast ever just because it's so darn fun, is the Westminster Effects Doxology Podcast. So that is a pastor, a pedal maker, and some Lutheran guy slash sexy boat captain, as he's called, discussing theology as it pertains to church practices and worship. And it's just loads of fun. You know, I don't think there hasn't been a single episode I've listened to, even on serious stuff like depression, pastoral rest, burnout, stuff like that. Still, I don't think I've listened to a single episode where I don't laugh at something. It's just, it's encouraging. It's Christians just having fun while discussing what's important. On the opposite side of that, because I do try and learn from as many perspectives as possible, even though considering myself more or less Reformed-ish, is Mike Winger. So he's a Calvary Chapel pastor. He's an apologist and a theologian, and I like him very much. I've shared some of his videos, especially recently. He's very likable, he's gracious and funny in that pastor joke kind of way, you know, dad jokes. He has YouTube videos, and the audio is available in podcast form if that's more your thing. So you can find him either by looking up his name, Mike Winger, or by searching for Bible Thinker. He's a huge inspiration for me wanting to make the move to YouTube. His content is very successful. He has over 100,000 subscribers, and his content is similar to what I want to do, actually, just from a slightly different perspective, because he's on the other side of the aisle. So those are some good recommendation. You know, those fill up my week of learning, other than a few of the sermons that I listen to, but most everyone I listen to is super controversial, so I'm not going to recommend them to the uninitiated. Okay, so now for at least a small lesson. I wrote this originally as I was watching a debate on morality, because I am nerdy like that and I love apologetics. I've posted it to Facebook in a short form a few different times because I really like it and I think it's the most meaningful thing I've ever written. And I really want to share it with all of you to encourage you in your faith and to challenge you in your life and walk with God and other people. So, Jesus was asked, "What is the greatest commandment?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself." We like the second half a lot, the modern church. We preach so much on love thy neighbor. We even teach that obeying the second commandment is obeying the first, that we love God when we love people. And while this is true, we really need to break down what it is to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because anyone, truthfully, can love people. You know, the atheists often make this point when refuting the moral argument, that they can be humanitarians, they can be doctors, philanthropists, they can be good parents without God. So I would say it is the first commandment, to love God, that truly makes us holy, that is, to be set apart, It is this that sets us apart from the world we live in. I am the Lord your God. Have no other gods before me. This is the first of the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. And Jesus restates this commandment. So, what does it mean to love God with all of your heart? It means undivided. Is God sharing your heart? Do you love God more than you love people? What about yourself? Do you love God more than yourself? Does what God wants come before what you want? Is God the first and last thing on your mind? Is he the beginning and the end for you? Do you hurry home from church or maybe watch the clock to make sure the sermon doesn't go too long because sports ball is your real God? You have Wednesday nights off, and you can either join a small group you're off on Sundays. You can join a missional community and give God your time and effort, or you can go out with your friends. The person who loves God always chooses God. Loving God with all of your heart really does mean he is your first priority. The biblical precedent is that our love for God is so great that the way we love those around us seems like we hate them in comparison. I was just talking with my wife last night about ministry and some stuff that we're working on. And I needed to remind her that if it ever comes to choosing between her and God, she stands zero chance of winning. So it is better that we work together. This is undividedly loving God. Your soul is who you are. Do you love God with who you are? Do your desires and your humor, your personality, your talents, do they reflect your love for him? Or do they reflect love of self? A person who loves God with all of their soul will look like he does and not like themselves. Our soul, who we are, how we act, reflects what we value. If we value Jesus, we will look like Jesus because you are who you're with. So this means you need to spend more time with God than anyone else. Pray for holiness, sanctification. Always be looking for those areas in your life that you haven't given over to God yet. Do you live under the mantra, "This is how God made me, so deal with it"? Or, "You can't love me at my worst, so you don't deserve my best"? Blah, blah, blah. We've all read the Facebook posts. Or, is your desire to be like God? Have you surrendered your soul to the lordship of the Holy Spirit? Love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. These are the attributes of someone whose soul belongs to God. Are you proud and individualistic, or are you seeking to be more like him? This is to love God with all your soul. My favorite part, no surprise there, is to love God with all of your mind. Because yes, theology matters. Theology is the study of God. We all study those we love. We study our spouse. Do they like boots or shoes? Nike or Adidas? Pineapple on pizza? Favorite team, favorite band, favorite food, and our kids, our nieces, nephews, cousins, best friends, whoever, we know all about them. We know all about them. So why are we okay just knowing that God loves us so much he died for us? Why are we okay just staying at the simplicity of the gospel? Why don't we spend the same amount of time we do in other relationships, studying our loved ones, studying God? What is God like? What is he not like? What things does he honor? What things does he curse? Does God always keep his promises, or is he fickle? More important, does God save you, or does he need you to believe in him first? If you get too far from God, can you unsave yourself? How well do you know God? Loving God with all of your mind is also to honor him with what you think about, what goes into your mind. Does it help you love God, or does it draw you away? This is a tricky area for a lot of people, myself included, because it does mean being aware of what you watch and what you listen to. I'm gonna say it, and it's gonna be controversial. Go figure. Christians have no business watching things that are full of nudity or pornography or violence. We have no reason to listen to music that is anti-Christ or even secular in nature, because even a simple love song is about the world's version of love and not God's. I know many people who are like, it doesn't affect me. Well, the Bible says it does. And if you choose to believe yourself over the Bible, then you love you more than God. And that's just how it is. We are warned over and over to take captive every thought. We are told that it is by a transformed mind that we become living sacrifices to the Lord. Philippians tells us to only think on that which is good. We are only to think on those things which are good. Is that violent video game or show or movie or what have you, is it good? And I don't mean is it a good game or a good movie, like not crappy. I mean, is it good? As in, is it wholesome? Does it lead you to thinking about God? I'll be honest with you guys. I am either in the Word via audio Bible or reading plans, or I'm watching sermons and theology seminars on YouTube, or I am reading some other kind of book about the Word or grace or theology. Even when I watch TV anymore, it's going to be something that is nonfiction, so like sciencey or historical, or it's going to be something from the Faith Life app. I've watched several movies on Reformation era. And reformers of late. I watched a movie on Paul. I sat through Michael Heiser's Supernatural seminar. When I listen to music, it is either praise and worship or it's some kind of Christian rock or metal band. Like occasionally I'll listen to old favorites because they are my favorites and you like what you like. I get that. So I will listen to Iron Maiden or Metallica, but it's usually only a track or two, before I need to put something Christian on. The Christian who loves God with all of his mind doesn't let anything enter his mind that isn't godly, period. No more excuses. No more excuses. Love God with all of your strength. Do you wear yourself out for God? Do you hustle for God the way you would to score a touchdown or to drive the paint to make that layup? When you are home from a long day of work and you are tired, does the TV get your last bit of strength, or does God? Do you love God with your time and energy, as we just discussed in the previous points, or does he get the first 20 minutes of your daily schedule? Do you work for God or for you? A Christian who loves God with all of his strength understands that even at work, whatever your job may be, you can offer yourself as a sacrifice of worship. Your vocation is just another way to worship God. Do you do the bare minimum? Are you doing just enough to keep your job, or are you giving 100% all the time? Are you working with integrity? Not only that, do you live your life on mission? Are you giving your time and energy to the kingdom even in your everyday life? Or is there God time and you time? I would urge you to consider that God gave you your life. Your time is his time to begin with, so you should live according to his purpose and his timing. Use the strength he gave you to love him. And to love your neighbor as yourself. Way harder than it sounds. You feed yourself when you're hungry because you love yourself. You get a job to make sure you have a roof and a bed. You shower when you're dirty. You sleep when you are tired. These are the ways that people can tell you love yourself. When we see someone who's jacked, who's obviously spent hundreds of hours in the gym to look how they want to look, that is someone who loves themselves. Maybe you're like me and are more towards the vain side. You know, I care how I look. I care about how other people perceive me. I have fancy leather boots. I don't leave the house without those. Skinny jeans or slacks. Button-downs, polos, or some kind of cardigan. Otherwise, I'm in leather or denim for the cool factor. But I'm never just going to leave the house in jeans, a t-shirt, and sneakers. Because I love myself. And I love how I look, and I love how people perceive me. I'm working on this. But I'm just being raw. These are things that people do to love themselves, yes? Do we give the same care and attention for those around us? Are you feeding your neighbor? Are you helping them get a job or get help so they have a roof and bed? Do you help them get cleaned up when they are dirty? This can be moral and spiritual too. Are they into something dark or addictions? This doesn't mean voting for social programs so the government can take care of people. It means you. It means me with our time, our money, and our resources loving people willingly. Not by force through taxes and social programs. You spend hundreds of hours to have the perfect abs or guns or ladies, tight glutes, whatever it is. Are you spending hundreds of hours on the health and well-being of those around you? This is what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. We are to love others with the same amount of time and effort we put into loving ourselves. And love doesn't mean being tolerant or accepting them as they are. Either. It means being truly kind to them and helping them do what is best for themselves. Love is tough. In the same way that we want that pesky sin out of our life, or we struggle to get that friend who is a bad influence out of our life, we need that promotion or better job, we need to fix our bathroom or a new car or whatever it is, we need for our lives to be better. Are we concerned with helping our neighbors have better lives in the same way? Or are we enabling them to carry on in mediocrity or worse? This is how we love God. And this is how we love our neighbor. Just a quick reminder, I do have a PayPal and a Patreon. If you would like to donate for the graphic design and website, and as always, if you are interested in I have a PayPal and a Patreon. If you would like to donate for the graphic design and website. There we go. That was much better. And as always, if you are interested in starting your own podcast, you should use Buzzsprout. You upload there and they send your podcast everywhere. I'm on Apple, Spotify, Google, Amazon, pretty much everywhere you can listen to podcasts. Reconstructed Faith is there. If you click the link in the description and sign up for anything above the free level, I get $20. and you get an Amazon gift card. I love you all. Thank you for following a crazy guy like me. And I will talk to you someday soon. Thank you for listening to Reconstructed Faith, where we examine what we believe and question everything in order to understand it better. I hope that this has stretched your mind, touched your heart, and blessed your soul. And you are one step closer to Reconstructed Faith.